I'm sorry. If you're not a Seinfeld fan, you would not have gotten my reference yesterday to David Putty, who is the boyfriend of Elaine, one of the main characters. Yeah, so what? Yeah, whatever. Funny guy. That attitude of, you're going to hell. Sorry about your luck. That typifies religious people. Speaking of religious people, this Balaam guy, I'm telling you, he's quite a case. You can read about him in Numbers 22 through 24, as I did. And the situation was Balak, the king of Moab, was getting quite nervous because the armies of Israel had just destroyed the Amorites. And when Israel comes to destroy you, you are freaking destroyed. I'm not going to go into details, but Balak was shaking in his booties, and he hired Balaam, who was not an Israelite, but he was known to be a prophet for hire, and he offered him money to curse Israel. He says, I get this guy to curse Israel, I'm golden. This guy seems to have a knack for cursing people. But of course, if you read the story, Balaam talks to the Lord, and the Lord said, you know, go, but you can only speak what I tell you to speak. So he goes, and he ends up blessing Israel. This really ticks off Balak. Now, because he says, I called you to curse Israel, and you're blessing her, you're killing me. You know, how much money do I have to give you to do it my way? Frank Sinatra. I want to do it my way. Balaam wouldn't do it. One time, though, he goes several times to Balak. He's really playing this out. I think this is what one of the things God has against him. The reason I'm bringing up this guy is because he looms large in the warning to, which church is it? The warning to Pergamos. Let's just read the warning to Pergamos. Then we'll pick up with Balaam in one of his many epic treks to see the king of Moab, namely Balak. And to the messenger of the ecclesia in Pergamos write, now this he is saying, who has the sharp two-edged saber. Ooh, if you're coming among us, with a sharp two-edged saber, I'm going to pay attention to what you have. This is, again, the threats. Jesus is walking among the seven lampstands with a two-edged saber. If one edge doesn't get you, the other edge will. I'm aware where you are dwelling, where Satan's throne is. This is so great. Talked about this before. Great slash awful. That Satan is dwelling. His throne is in this synagogue. Synagogue's supposed to be God's house. That's where Satan dwells. That's his throne. Same today in the Christian churches. Satan lives there. He's enthroned there. He's the king of it. He's the author and perfecter of the lies and deceptions of religion. You are holding my name and do not disown my faith in the days in which Antipas, my faithful witness, was killed among you. I meant to look up who this guy is. I don't know who they're talking about here, to be honest with you. I'll look him up and bring you up to speed on this guy tomorrow. Remind me to bring up Antipas. I don't know this guy. Where Satan is dwelling. Again, the reference to Satan. But I have a few things against you, just a few. And I'm holding the two-edged saber. But I got a few things against you that you have there in your synagogue, those holding the teachings of Balaam. Why is that bad? Who taught Balak to cast a snare in sight of the sons of Israel, to be eating idol sacrifices, and to commit prostitution. Thus, you also have those holding the teaching of the Nicolaitans. I'm going to get into these later. Forget them out of your mind right now. Martin, we got to know about the Nicolaitans. They're such a mysterious people. Yes, they are. It's coming later, though. It's all I can do to give you Balaam right now, okay? Cut me some slack here. I'm only one guy. Repent then, otherwise I am coming to you swiftly and shall be battling with them with the saber of my mouth. He's not holding the saber in vain. So Balak's on his way to Balaam at this one certain occasion, and his donkey, God's trying to stop him at this time because God doesn't want him to go on this particular trip. So an angel of the Lord, a messenger, this is a celestial being this time, appears, but the donkey can see it. Balaam can't. It's fascinating. Entertaining story. Numbers 22:24. His donkey can see the celestial being, and the donkey pulls aside, goes into the field. Balaam gets ticked off, starts beating the donkey, gets back on the trail. The celestial being moves, maneuvers around, goes into another area. The donkey backs Balaam up against the wall. Balaam's really ticked off now, starts beating the donkey with a stick. At this point, the donkey turns to him and starts talking to him. Says, have I ever done anything like this before? And the funny thing is, Balaam answers the donkey. Well, no, I can't say that you have. Then why are you beating me? Is there any rational reason why you should be doing this? And Balaam says, no, I guess not. It's so funny. It's like it's a normal course of the day that Balaam's ass would talk. You know, it was a miracle back in the Bible days for an ass to speak. Today it's a miracle if an ass shuts up. But that notwithstanding, Balaam, God says, go ahead, but you're not going to curse. You're going to bless. But this is what he did. Balaam eventually said, I'll tell you what, I can't bring myself to curse this people, but here's how you overtake them. Here's what you do. You entice them to prostitution. You entice them to eat idol sacrifices. Cast a snare. In other words, set traps for them. If you put a cult prostitute and entice them to worship false gods. I'm telling you, Balaam, these people, man, it's like a drop of a hat, they will worship a false god. I mean, you just have to put perfume of a cult prostitute on a lilac bush, and one whiff of that, and they will be worshiping that god. They are suckers for the flesh. They're suckers for the type of flesh that would lead a man into worship of false deities. This is the prostitution. This is not the common prostitution of paying for sex. This is the prostitution we're looking at here, where God killed thousands of people. Paul references it in 1 Corinthians, is cult prostitution. That is using the enticement of women to worship a false deity. This was the lure. And that they also should, the other thing that they were enticed to do is to eating idol sacrifices. And they were prohibited from that. But Balaam is really, he's unveiling the Achilles heel of Israel. He's telling them what their weakness is, kind of like Samson. Well, if you do this, I'm done for. So if you want to take away Israel, do this. Now, and they were doing this. Some in the ecclesia, this is the crime. Can you believe this? Some in that ecclesia of Pergamos, that synagogue, were doing that very thing. They were enticing other people to fall, to divorce themselves, to go away from God. And this was the sin of Balaam. And they're actually enticing their brethren in the synagogue to do what Balaam did. And let's read on to the church of Thyatira. This is the one that doesn't exist, didn't exist then. It's going to exist in the future, the synagogue there. Because Balaam comes up again, and also Jezebel. Jezebel taught the teachings of Balaam. This is entertaining, horrible, but entertaining. To the church, the ecclesia in Thyatira, write, now this the Son of God is saying, who has his eyes as a flame of fire. Before he had the two-edged sword, now his eyes are as a flame of fire, whose feet are like white bronze. I am aware of your acts and love and faith and service and your endurance. Again, it's all about service in Israel. And your last acts are more than the former. But I have much against you, O God, much against you, seeing that you pardoned that woman of yours, Jezebel. In other words, they made excuses for Jezebel. She was the wicked, wicked woman who hated Israel, tripped her up constantly, professing herself to be a prophetess. Again, professing. You can profess all day to be a prophetess, or you can profess to be a chief of the synagogue. You could profess to be of the synagogue of Yahweh, and yet at the same time you're of the synagogue of Satan. So she is professing herself to be a prophetess, and she is teaching and enticing my slaves to commit prostitution and to be eating idol sacrifices. And the prostitution has also to do with idols, which are false gods. This God hated. Number one commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and don't make an image, any graven image of me. And so this was the key sin of Israel. So the sin of idol cult prostitution was not the sin of sex, it was the sin of idolatry. And sex was used as a venue, as a conduit to idolatry. And again, it's so easy to entice Israel to do this. They had to be kept away from it because they were always like chomping at the bit for some reason to go screw a cult prostitute and worship other gods. Their god was too hard, I guess. There was some kind of appeal to the false gods. And I'm thinking the appeal was to the flesh. Because one of the other sins of Balaam was the sin of being a prophet for hire. And this was the problem that Jude and Peter have with him. Because Peter mentions them. Let me go down. I have a website here. We're doing an in-depth study of Balaam here earlier. And in 2 Peter 2:15 and in Jude 1:11, Balaam is also mentioned as a bad guy. Only this time it's because he's greedy. He's money hungry. 2 Peter 2:15. Let me go there. I don't have this bookmark, so as you know, my Bible has the Peter and Timothy mixed up here just because I like to do things the hard way. 2 Peter 2:15. Oh, for thus will be richly supplied to you out of the path of Balaam of Peor, who loves the wages of injustice, yet was exposed for his own outlawry. Outlawry, that's the word here in the Concordant Version. He loves the wages of injustice. In other words, he was a prophet for hire. Now, I'll give him this. He did not take money from Balak, but he set himself up as a prophet for hire. He would have taken it, but God prohibited him from doing it in this particular case. And then in Jude, the guy of the circumcision guy who writes right before Revelation, he says this, Jude 1:11. You don't really need to say 1:11 because there's only one chapter in Jude. Woe to them, for they went in the way of Cain, and in the deception of Balaam's wages were they poured out, and in the contradiction of Korah. Not interested in Korah right now, or Cain, but Balaam, the wages of Balaam. That is a religion that is based on sensual delights. Whether these sensual delights be profit or they be the soulish sensations, the appeal of women that would lead entire nation to idolatry. Those were the sins of Pergamos. And also the sins of Thyatira. And that woman Jezebel, she actually made it a state religion to teach the apostasy of Balaam. Let me read you what A. Enoch says here. Jezebel, who is referred to in the letter to Thyatira, made the advice of Balaam the basis of state religion. A sensual religion will be one of the outstanding features in the end time. Do you get that? A sensual religion. That is, and Israel went towards these false gods because it was sensual. It was better than what they were having because these false gods, I am thinking, offered them benefits. Like Joel Osteen, every day can be a Friday if you follow Joel Osteen's teaching. And you can have that big house and nice car. And people like Joel Osteen are prophets for hire, just like Balaam. Clyde Pilkington had a great little goodie in his daily goodies earlier this week, or it was last week, called Like People Like Priests. People hire their priests to give them what they want. And this was what was happening in the synagogues here of Pergamos and Thyatira. The people hired the priests. They want their ears tickled, so they found people who would do it. And there were people who were more than willing for money or any other thing, such as adulation or power, to lay snares for Israel, snares for the people. They know what they love. I know what you love, says Joel Osteen. You love money, you love riches, you love wealth, you love feeling good, so I'm going to give you these things. That's a snare, that's a trap. It leads people astray from God. God hates this. And everything in the book of Revelation is staying true in the face of danger, in the face of pain, in the face of earthly threat, in the face of not having money, you don't take the mark of the beast, you don't eat, all these things, and whoever loves his soul in that day is going to lose it, and whoever loses it for the sake of Christ will gain it in the millennium. We don't have this problem. We're sealed in Christ, whether we're drowsing or awake, we'll be snatched away together with him.